This is Single and Probably Asexual with Kendra K. I've got my gin, sparkling water, lime, soda. Because why not? Hello! We're back. And we are recording today via my phone. Because even though I am a photographer, your girl ain't a videographer. And as much as people like to think that they are similar, they're really not. So I would rather have some clarity, if you will, in the video. So yeah. Was really important information that you all needed to know. I am back. Another solo episode, because as of right now, I have no more interviews lined up. So you get to listen to just me. And if you are listening, currently I am shuffling one of my very first Oracle decks that I have ever gotten, because I feel like it's just, I don't know, I just feel like pulling a card before this episode. And this episode entitled Asexuals versus the World. I did a little bit of research on this. Well, what I'm about to speak about, a couple YouTube videos that I saw. I will of course credit those people in the show notes and then also shout their names out and their YouTube channels once I start to chat about today's topic. So we are pulling from the Sacred Earth Oracle deck. And like I said, it's one of my very first Oracle decks that I've ever gotten. And I love it so much. And what do we have today? Stretch. Ooh! She's good. It's one of my favorite cards. What I love about this deck is so I'm going to read everything. There's an earthly meaning, a spiritual meaning, and insight. My favorite part about this Oracle deck is the last part, which is called insight. So here is the card. She's beauty, she's grace, she's strength. Ugh, I love this deck. So, stretch. She's not strength. She is strength, but she's also stretch. In this context, she is stretch. Earthly meaning. Put yourself forward, stand in the sun, grab an opportunity and run with it. Reach beyond the shade, out of the comfort of darkness, and step into your life. Holding yourself back is counterintuitive. Doubt, fear, anxiety, and grief may be part of your journey, but don't let them be the journey. Reach out, stretch. Stretch yourself a little by little, and grow strong and live. Spiritual meaning. In a fleeting moment of grace and space between your thoughts, you glimpse a silent bliss that is beyond words or description. This all-encompassing love is your soulful spiritual center. It is without beginning or end. Reach for it, and this state of grace shall be a guiding light in this world and beyond. It is life. It is eternal. Favorite part, insight. Here we go. To secure a place in the sun, plants stretch and grow towards the sunlight. Even though that they are fixed in one place, they actively avoid the shade cast by their neighbors and reach single purposefully for the light. Beneath the surface of the earth, they extend themselves in search for water and nutrients. The plant's roots are positioned with much care and determination as their light-chasing leaves. All that they reach for is transformed into growth, and this growth makes them strong and fruitful. Even in the darkest of caves, subterranean tunnels, and ocean trenches, life is trained towards sustenance. The urge towards that which will nurture and enrich you is instinct. It is natural. It is life. Position yourself towards all that is life-affirming. Words, foods, activities, hobbies, songs, images, podcasts. Grasp for goodness, grow beyond the shade, and be fruitful. Remember, a seedling does not grow beyond the canopy overnight. It gets there by constantly seeking the light that is just out of reach. Amazing. Yeah, that is one of my favorite cards. I'm going to keep her out just for a little inspo for this podcast recording. So there you have it. And if you guys are interested, this is the Sacred Earth Oracle by Tony Carmaine Salerno and Leah J. Williams. And the artwork is by Helena Nelson Reed. The artwork is just incredible to die for. Okay, here we go. I'm going to take another little sip of my little gin here. So today we are going to be talking about asexuals versus the world. I mentioned at the very beginning of this podcast, and I feel like I continue to mention this maybe every episode, that this is very much a learning podcast for me specifically. I mean, for the hostess with the mostess. I understood full well that before I started this podcast that I was probably going to learn maybe more than some of my listeners. Some of my listeners out there may be very well vexed with asexuality, different types of sexualities. They may have lived a life as a queer person far longer than I have lived my life as a queer person. So I have always just stated and wanted the record to show that this is very much a learning podcast, and things that I will talk about and I will research, I will share. And if this is maybe some common knowledge to, let's say, some senior asexuals out there, then I honestly don't think you would mind either, because sometimes, what? It's not that bad to have a little bit of a refresher course. So when I was looking up stuff for this, I came across a video. It was I believe it was a TED Talk. There's a lot of talks these days, and they could be TED Talks or they could be other talks. But, you know, we have a lot of talks these days. And it was by this man named David Jay, who is asexual. And again, if you are a senior asexual out there, you probably have heard of David Jay. And he is the creator of Avon.com, which is asexual visibility. Ooh, I'm going to have to look this up. I'm so sorry. Avon.com, the Asexual Visibility and Education Network. So I have just recently stumbled upon this website, and yeah, it's incredible. And I think a lot of people 10 years ago, when they were, you know, they knew that they were asexual, a lot of people have found this website and have found it to be incredibly helpful, have found community through this website. It has grown over to 50,000 members since 2012, and again was founded by David Jay in 2001. So very cool. I've got a lot of good information from this website. And I also have another person to shout out called Spacey Ace's channel on YouTube. I went to their channel to look up a lot of different... Rude. A lot of different types of asexuality, because as I continue to do this podcast and I continue to talk to people who are ace or queer or gay, I find that there are so many more terms and labels that I am unaware of. And I thought it would be cool to chat about those with you guys. Because like I said, this is a learning podcast, especially for myself. And I feel that I now have some new little labels that I really connect with under the branch of asexuality. So first, before I get into all of these different labels, I just wanted to kind of talk about the title of this, Asexuals Versus the World. I don't mean this in like a combative way, like a, you know, fuck everyone else sort of MO. That's not what I'm trying to say at all. As someone who has been ace and who didn't have the words for being asexual for most of my life, so someone who has felt that they were asexual and someone who obviously now identifies as asexual, I have always felt just outcasted in this world. I have felt outcasted for being predominantly single for most of my life. I have felt outcasted for not having similar or any sort of relation to any sort of sexual desire that most people in my life do. Friends, family, coworkers. When I used to have coworkers, I mean, the list goes on. I just remember high school being, it's such a time where people are like, oh, have you had sex yet? Are you still a virgin? Which is just, for me, it's mind-blowing because I think it, until you're 23, you're a child still. But that's just me personally. I felt like a child at 23. So I just remember thinking back to like high school, and I have never felt so outcasted in that way. I wasn't physically outcasted by people. I had a lot of friends. I had a lot of different groups of friends. I had a lot of fingers, and that sounds weird. I'm going to stop right there. I just had a lot of friends. I don't know where I was going with that previous ramble, but it probably was going to sound sexual, which I try not to do because I hate that shit. Because it just, I don't, it's, that could be another topic actually. Why is everybody gonna make things sexual? Like jokes, everything we do is gonna be like, oh, there's gonna be a sexual innuendo there. I say something and then there's like a long pause and like a little wink wink. And it's like, that's gonna be another podcast topic, because the jokes don't land for asexuals. And oftentimes it, for me, I'm just fucking annoyed. Annoyed. Anyways. But high school days, I was never physically outcasted for being different. I just knew I was different. I knew I was very different. And I just couldn't understand why. I thought I was weird for not having had sex at 15, 16 years old in high school, or never having kissed anybody. And until I was like 23. Pause for brain fart and gin. So I've always felt outcasted in a way, because I look at friends, I look at family, I looked at previous coworkers, and everybody, I mean, sex is just like, and I get it. I'm a boudoir photographer, and in a way, I feel like I'm a part of this industry that is revolved around sex, in a way. I mean, for me, what I do, the work that I do, the body of work that I do is about bodies, and it's about self-love and self-expression, and it's about healing, and it's about loving your skin. It's about not wanting to change any bit of who you are, and it's about showing up in your fullness and your realness and your everything that you are insecure about and everything that you also love about yourself. But, you know, sometimes, most of the time, a lot of my clients are like, these are sexy photos for my partner. And I'm like, hell yes, let's do it. So I get how like weirdly important sex is in this country, in this world. You always heard the term of like sex sells. It truly does. It truly does. So for someone who has felt so outcast in my entire life, I never quite really understood why that was. I thought I was different. I thought I was weird for not having these feelings and attractions and X, Y, and Z. But when I was listening to David Jay's talk on a TED Talk, I believe, Here it is. It is not a TED Talk. I'm going to, maybe I will stand corrected, but it was on, so David J. YouTube Identity Talk. So it may have been a one-off or, you know, a little branch of a TED Talk, but called maybe Identity Talk, and it could have been like a queer convention sort of thing with speakers. Anyways, so when I was watching him speak, one of the first things that he mentioned was, you know, non-ace, so heteronormative or homosexual people who just feel natural inclinations in their body. They feel romantic attraction and sexual attraction mostly in their genitals, right? So for people who are ace or asexual or a long list of different titles that fall under the branch of being asexual, that's not normally the case. It can sometimes be the case, but it's also not normally the case at all. And so ace people, we feel this way too. We just don't feel it down here. Don't feel it down here. We don't feel it up here. We, you know, it's like we don't feel it down here in the way that most people feel desire, sexual attraction, all of that. So for the masses, when, you know, you go out to a bar, you see someone or you find somebody attractive, you're like, okay. You know? Doesn't happen. It's like whoop, cut off. For me, and I'm not going to speak for most asexuals, but I feel like a lot of asexuals, that's that feeling. But the thing about, we all want connection in this world, and most of us, not asexuals, but most people in this world, find that connection through sex. And asexuals, on the other hand, they don't necessarily find that connection through sex, but they find that connection through intimacy, or communication, or really vibing with somebody, or really getting to know somebody on a deep and emotional a level that then makes them kind of feel sort of, dare I say, Love Island friends, fanny flies. But intimacy and sex are totally different. They are, I mean, it's completely different. Sex is sex, you know. However you do it, that's how it is. But intimacy can be so many different things. Intimacy can be sitting on the couch with your legs draped over one another, reading a book, or watching a TV show, or having such an intimate, in-depth conversation where your eye connection doesn't break, or, you know, holding hands on the beach and really spending that quality time. That is what fuels most asexuals. So everybody, and this is something that David J. referenced in his talk on identity. I'm going to cut this out. Maybe not, because I don't cut anything out, but I need, you know what, hold on, just bear with me here, because I really want to, I cannot keep referencing this talk, and I don't know what the F it is. YouTube, David J. You know, let me just go to history. David J. Idiocy. It's an Idiocy talk. So David J. argues that asexual people who make up 1% of our population, facts, have the same desire for connection as everyone else. So this was a talk. This was an Idiocy talk. So forgive me for that. We're all cut up now, okay? Thank you. We love it. You know, the Idiocy had a little red logo in the background. So my brain just, you know, thinks, oh, TED Talk. No, TED Talk. So, as David J. explains in his Idiocy talk on YouTube, everyone desires connection as human beings, and some express that sexually, and some experience it and express that way differently. And being asexual, I feel like it's so difficult to operate as an asexual person in this world, because we have a world that is so laser focused on sexuality and hypersexuality. And another quote from David Jay on his Ideacy talk is, asexual struggle for connection. Asexuals struggle for connection is tangled up in a culture of sexuality and hypersexuality. Which, again, I understand. I feel like I'm somewhat a part of that culture because I take sexy photos of people. So it's weird. I mean, for me, it's weird. I think in one of my first podcast episodes, I talked about the fact that I was the single wedding photographer and the celibate boudoir photographer, and how they don't mix, you know, but I have found a love of photographing people in love, and have found a love of photographing people celebrating their badass fucking selves. And then also helping people celebrate sexy photos of themselves for their significant others. I can't get enough of both of them. I love them so much. And it's just ironic and hilarious how that my personal life and my professional life are vastly different. Weird. Not weird, but that's just my life. That's just how it is. So, yeah, it's interesting. But, you know, I think a lot of people also look at asexuals and they think, oh, well, they can't be in a relationship because they can't have these feelings, you know, whatever. But a lot of asexual people can be in a relationship, and a lot of asexuals are in relationships. And that looks very different for a lot of people. I read an article that said that, and again, a couple other YouTube videos that I was watching, a lot of asexuals are linked to polyamorous relationships because they have found a partner that they have shared. They have a very deep intimacy with, not sexual intimacy, but like a connection, intimacy, partnership. Maybe they also have a child together. They own a home together, but they are life partners in a way, and probably a little bit romantic partners. But maybe for the person who isn't asexual or doesn't identify as asexual, excuse me, that person is also connected with another relationship where they can, so to speak, get their needs taken care of in that way, because their main partner or one of their partners or husband or wife or legal wed partner doesn't have the same drive necessarily as them, sex drive. So it's, I mean, like David Jay said, asexuals make up 1% of this population. And I think within this community of asexuals and asexuality, it's very interesting to see what works with people and what doesn't work with people. Because some asexuals, they experience sexual attraction and desire. They like to have sex. And then you have the opposite end of the spectrum where there's some people who they don't like any of that. And then they also just kind of shy away from partnership in general. They have a great relationship with themselves, and they enjoy doing life on their own by themselves, which for me, as a 31-year-old who has literally been single her entire life, except for 6 months, 1 year, I love my life. I have it open for whatever. I'll have life. Just my life is just, I take it day by day. I'm not trying to force any doors open. I'm not trying to push my way through different accolades in business or personal relationships. I just like to let things happen as they naturally happen. And for me right now, I love my life. I have been single my entire life. except for 6 months, but I'm just going to say my entire life, because that relationship was, you know, it wasn't like serious, if we're going to be real. So, yeah, but I have found recently, listening to these last, you know, few YouTube videos and listening to Spacey Aces identify a whole bunch of different terms for asexuality, or not terms, but a whole bunch of different branches of asexuality, and what they mean. And I find myself sort of in the middle sometimes, or maybe I'm leaning more towards this way now. And who knows, maybe in the future I'll lean more towards this way. But that's also the beautiful thing about life. And I think about asexuality, which is why there's so many different branches and so many different ways to identify under the umbrella of asexuality, is it can change. One day you can identify as a gray asexual, and then the other day you can identify as maybe a lithosexual. And I'm going to list off 9 here that I have learned about recently, that fall under the umbrella of asexuality. But it's just, I think that's the beautiful thing about just being ace, is it can change. And I think I'm a huge believer that people can change, and people do change. And that's a great thing. And me being a motherfucking Gemini, I be changing a lot. I'm not the same person who I was a year ago. I'm not the same person who I was 5 years ago. And I also learned this recently, listening to a different podcast, The Slumflower Hour. I will also link that in my show notes. She's just great. She's amazing. She talks about she talks about mostly straight relationships, her being a straight woman. She is also asexual, but her, you know, dating history, I guess, with men. And she's just fucking wonderful. I love her. I will add her stuff to my little show notes here, because she's great. But I listened to this podcast episode that she did recently, how she went over each astrological sign and her experience that she has had with men in each astrological sign, mostly as their sun signs. But if you're into astrology, you know that there is so much more than just your sun sign. So while I was listening to her episode, I learned that my big three, which is your sun, your moon, and rising, all of my big three signs are mutable signs, which means that they are highly adaptive. They can adapt to a lot of situations. So who I am, how I present myself and my emotions, I can just fucking go. I can bend this way. I can bend this way. I can adapt to this. I can adapt to that, which is great, but it's also kind of like, okay, bitch, like, let's calm down. Maybe find your lane and stick with it. But I love that for myself, because I think that change is beautiful, and everybody, change is beautiful. And me being someone who is also very spiritual and has been working on their spirituality and themselves and their growth and their healing journey, my mutable signs are like, let's do this, bitch. You're going to be a different person tomorrow, even. So love it. All right. So from Spacey Aces, their YouTube channel, we're going to go over 9 different types of asexuals and how some asexuals can further identify under the spectrum. Excuse me. Take a little ginger and sip. All right. So the first one is gray asexual. And gray asexuals can experience some sexual attraction and can express some sexual attraction. So, you know, when we think of asexuals, most of the time it's like they don't have that sexual attraction. But there is the gray ace who can sometimes experience that. And I think I do. See, and maybe the 1% of me maybe identifies that way. But again, I'm mutable. I'm adaptable. I can change. I definitely feel maybe a little bit of, like I can lean as gray ace sometimes. But yeah, that was something new that I learned, and I love it. Going on to the second one, which we have heard me say on this podcast a lot of times, and this is how I also identify, is demisexual. So you need to have a close emotional bond. Close emotional bond needs to be formed with someone in order to experience any sort of romantic sexual desires. So that is 100% me. When I was talking to this, what being demi is to someone recently who they had no idea what a lot of this is, I kind of described it as I can never have a one-night stand unless maybe that one-night stand was like we meet at 6 a.m. and we've got 24 hours to get to know one another or something. Like, for demisexuals, it is not, it's highly unheard of that a lot of demisexuals can have one-night stands because the close emotional bond normally does not happen at a bar for 2 hours when, you know, people are either intoxicated or not, or even 2 days, or even 3 days, or even 3 weeks, or even a month. So again, it's just wherever you're at with that emotional connection and however long you feel you need, it's very slim to none that you can go into a bar and have a one-night stand with someone. I never have. I don't know if I ever will, because I need to have an emotional connection with someone in order to feel that desire. Okay, moving on. Number three, this one is called free sexual, and they experience initial sexual attraction upon meeting, but it fades very quickly. So I think this could happen even just for a lot of people normally. And I think when you're put in a certain situation, say you are at a bar and you have been drinking or you're partaking in other things that's making you feel loosey-goosey and you're just like, ooh, feeling it. It makes sense how maybe a lot of people can kind of maybe also lean towards feeling free sexual. Again, don't think that's me, but it was cool to learn about. Number four, lithosexual. They will feel sexual attraction, but would not want it reciprocated. Interesting, right? I mean, all of this is very interesting, and this is why I love it, and this is why I love how there are so many different ways to also identify as being asexual, because it's just not one thing. And I love that the 1% has like 90% of other different labels that we can fall under. Because asexuality is vast. And a lot of people who are asexual, if and when they do, I feel like maybe I fall into this bracket a little bit, but I feel like if they do feel that sort of sexual attraction, a lot of the times the process of like the acting on it, the going through with it, is kind of like a ick to some people. Some people don't like bodily fluids that are not their own bodily fluids on them. Some people are repulsed by kissing and saliva. Again, I think I might lean towards that. It's so very interesting, but I thought that one was really cool. And interesting, again, interesting, because sexual attraction can happen, but the plan to act it out can feel very, very different for a lot of people. Okay, autosexual, feeling sexual attraction to yourself rather than others, and then little, you know, on this is like some prefer to just masturbate. They prefer to have these sexual desires on their own, solo, if you will. And I feel like a lot of people, whether you're straight, whether you're gay, whether you're however you identify, if you're queer or not, that's just a thing for a lot of people. A lot of people masturbate. So, six, reciprosexual. Sexual attraction activates when another person expresses sexual attraction to them. Again, interesting. I love it. I think that's so cool. And I also, I don't know, I think I really vibe with that one too, because for me, it kind of maybe falls under the category of demisexual a little bit. You know, you're creating a close connection, and also to know if something is or isn't reciprocated can greatly affect how people move through life. So, I mean, say someone is not reciprocating your friendship. I think that's great to know so that you no longer have to waste your time trying to be friends with someone who's just like, you know, I'm not in it anymore. So that kind of falls under reciprosexual. With, it's kind of nice to know. And maybe if you do know, that kind of lines out, or that kind of like opens the pathway to how you feel. Oh, this person has experienced or has expressed sexual attraction to me. Let me sit and think about that now. Do I actually experience sexual attraction to them? And has my sexual attraction to them maybe grown or popped up because of their expression of sexual attraction to me? Super cool. Cupio sexual. So desires sexual relationships as an asexual. I think I wrote that right. Hold on. We're going to do another little look up here. Cupio sexual. Okay. Cupio sexual is defined as someone who does not experience sexual attraction, but still desires / likes a sexual relationship. So their initial attraction is not there, but deep down inside, rooted in their little body and their core, they do want a sexual relationship. And again, I think it just kind of falls underneath the bracket of probably reciprosexual and demisexual. It's not normally there, but it can be there with the right person, with the right connection, with the right emotional connection. Okay, moving on. Number eight is ace flux. An identity that can shift to any other ace identity on the spectrum. This is exactly what I was saying before we got into all of these, is people can change. And especially when there are so many different brackets of asexuality, I don't think that I will, from speaking for myself, I can see myself being one way, another day, or one way, another day, or identifying as gray asexual in my 40s, or now I identify as demisexual in my 30s. Like, I like that. So ace flux, which maybe most or a large amount of asexuals also feel that identity really resonates with them, because again, they can feel different. They can feel different towards certain people. They can feel different towards certain emotional connections, and they can also feel different towards sexual attraction towards other people. I love it. So this one's interesting. This one is called ace spikes. It's kind of like in the name. Ace spikes. These people do not experience like any sexual attraction normally, but then will randomly have spikes, little bouts or bursts of sexual attraction or desire. So yeah, I mean, that's what I wrote down from Spacey Ace's YouTube channel. They had a whole bunch of other ones that were on there, but I just kind of wrote down some of the ones that I thought were fun to share, and ones that I had no recollection or idea about until now. But yeah, wrapping up, I think it's beautiful to be asexual, and I think everybody is adaptive to change, and also change in their sexuality. And that goes for people who maybe have identified as straight at one point and who are now gay. It's just, it just goes back to just the beauty of life and how things can be different 1 year to the next, 1 month to the next, 1 week to the next. And that change is always welcomed. And for me, it's appreciative and I love learning new things about myself at different stages of my life. And yeah, so there we have it. Asexuals versus the world. Thank you for being here. Again, if you yourself would like to be on this podcast, just reach out. We have a slew of interviewers who have already been on this podcast, as you can already tell if you are an avid listener, that I will have just about anybody on here. And you do not have to be queer, you do not have to identify as asexual, you don't have to identify as demisexual. It's just fun to keep conversations going about sexuality and also how that can pertain to some people personally, within business, XYZ. If you are a fan of this podcast and you are listening on an app or a platform that has ratings, feel free to rate. Give me some stars. You don't have to, but you can. It just kind of furthers my growth with this podcast. It lets me know what people are liking. It lets me know that you like it in general and to keep going. But I do like this, and I do just like chatting. And I am excited to have more people on for some interviews. And then again, if you want to be one of those people, reach out. If you also have an idea or a topic that you would like to hear me speak about specifically, let me know. Happy to do some research, or if it's a personal topic that you would like me to chat about in my past life, my personal life, my previous life, my future life, let me know. I'm happy to do so. All right. Well, thank you. Now I am getting fidgety and I am going to wrap this up. So thanks. Be well. Be gay. Be kind. Love you. Bye.